This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that. It's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter with you on this Wednesday as we get closer to Memorial Weekend. And, of course, more state events going on. Soccer wrapped up last night. Golf got its field set through the districts yesterday. Tennis begins tomorrow. We'll talk with Troy Salisbury, head coach at Kearney. We'll stay with Kearney. Coach Roger Matheson will preview the track meet, see how the Bearcats will do after, amazingly, you have to say a down year, but a down year to them
by their standards, yeah,
is a different thing for most. So we'll talk to him, and Kerry Hofstetter is going to join us in a moment on our Loper link for UNK hoops going into the offseason. We'll talk a little recruiting, we'll talk a little summer camps and all that's been going on there. Randy, how's it going, man?
Good. I'm just very excited about the NFL. They're making missed kicks exciting. I mean, wow, we get to miss more kicks. That's going to be just riveting football. That's a great rule change there, guys. That's because I was thinking that was the problem. You have the touchdown, you got the reviews, and then you have the extra point for like 4 seconds, and then you have 2.5 minutes of a commercial break. You kick off, they kneel on the ball in the end zone, and then we take another 2.5 minutes worth of commercial. I mean, they fixed the problem in there, and that was that 4 seconds you saw the extra point. I mean, I'm glad they fixed that part of it, because, wow, that was awful. Missed kicks are going to be so exciting. It's thrilling.
You are grumpy.
Thrilling.
What'd you do, stay up for the end of the triple overtime NHL game last
night?
Well,
I kind of fell asleep for a little while, but I was awake for when the puck went in. Yeah, so I did get to see the end of the game.
If we have time, we'll have to discuss what I'm seeing in hockey more and more, just deflection goals. Just it seems like every goal is a deflection.
Well, you got such good goaltending.
But obviously, we'll start the show off here in the first segment by saying Royals 3, Reds nothing.
Oh, stop. Okay. You know what? My second favorite team beat my favorite team. What are you going to do? Moose had a big night last night. He looked awesome.
Good pitching matchup.
It was a good matchup.
Cueto is a weird cat, and he's a good pitcher, though. So there you go.
They never score runs for him. I knew the first one, the 2 runs, was going to win that because the Reds never score more than 2 runs when Cueto's on the mound. Ever, 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 ever. Well, it's the guys. I feel sorry for the guy. You know, they'll score 10 for another guy. Yolatos would get 10 runs in support, and Cueto, if you get one, you're lucky.
Let's jump into our Loper link, brought to you by CharterWest National Bank. Let Rhett Smith help you with all your lending needs. You have the reasons, they have the loans at CharterWest National Bank. If you'd like to be a part of the show, you can tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550. You can email us, Doug and Daddy, at ESPNSuperstation.com, and reach us via the Dent Popper inbox, or you can always buzz the Kearney Chicken Coop fan line, 888-455-3776. Well, because of the weather, we could say she's gotten her feet wet, but she literally has been here long enough that she's gotten her feet wet. With us on the Loper Link today in studio is UNK basketball coach Kerry Hofstetter. And how's it going?
It's going really well. So school's wound up, and we were able to work with our current players, the returning six that we have for the upcoming year, for about 3 weeks, and saw some really good things from them. Very coachable, very much hungry to learn and to grow, and they're all really excited about getting better this summer.
When you say returning six, does that mean six total? and you've got a lot of work to do, or does that mean six healthy bodies for you right now?
Six healthy bodies that we really feel like can help us and can contribute. Obviously, the big four that we've talked about before with Mackenzie Brown and Laramie Lewis and Kelsey Fitzgerald and Hogberg, the point guard, Alexa. Those four played significant minutes last year, and they all are really healthy right now and look really good. Obviously, we haven't worked out for a few weeks with the NCAA rules, but they all really made some progress in even just the 3 to 4 weeks that we worked with them.
And obviously restocking the shelves is a major element of what we want to talk about today in terms of recruiting. I'll just kind of throw out a general recruiting question. How's recruiting gone, and how is it compared to when you're recruiting for an NAIA school, now for a Division II school in the NIAA?
Sure. The recruiting's gone really well. Kearney's a great place. It's obviously a very good academic institution. The facilities are one of the best in the country, and so to be able to sell those things is not a huge task necessarily. I think there's a ton of interest in what we're doing at UNK, and also being in the conference that we're in, the MIAA, is obviously a huge seller to competitive players that want to play in the best conference in the country. So it's been going really well. We've been able to sign some freshmen and then add some depth to our roster at a lot of different spots. So we're excited about the class and we'll continue to recruit as we move throughout here the next couple of months.
What were some of the immediate things that NAIA and D2 have obviously a few tweaks in the rules, and I'm sure some of it has to do with recruiting and a variety of other things. Who kind of filled you in, or how did you get your feet to the fire on that? Maybe a couple that are vastly different that you had to be aware of immediately.
Sure. Well, the main difference is the periods with which you can have contact and you can't have contact, when you can evaluate, when you can't evaluate. Obviously, there's a chunk of time in April where there's a weekend where you can go out and get to tournaments and evaluate players that way. But those are the main differences is the calendar, the recruiting calendar that we have to follow as an NCAA institution compared to the NAIA, where you can kind of be out and about and do whatever you want most of the time. So, and really, I can, remember those things from Fort Hays, which was only, three or four short long years ago, however you want to look at it. Those are all very similar. Obviously, the calendars, a little bit of rule tweaks and changes. We can now text players when we couldn't do that before when I was at Fort Hays. So there's some differences that way with technology and not having to log all your phone calls and things like that, because we can have so much more contact with them, on a weekly, regular basis.
And obviously, a name that drew a lot of attention for me, since I had a chance to watch her play with doing all the games this last winter, and I saw the growth of Bree Miller throughout the course of the year from Kearney High. Originally, you had her sign when you were at Hastings College. She goes to UNK. She kind of follows you over there. Talk about the process of how that came to be. And she's a project, but the growth I saw through the course of the year this last year, I think that's a pretty good get for wherever she's going to go to school.
Yeah, I mean, you can never coach 6'3", in the sense of
you can't
make somebody longer, right? So, she's got great length and really she doesn't have a ton of experience. She's only been playing since she was an eighth grader. She's a really hard worker. She's made a ton of progress in the last year or two as we've kind of followed her. And I think she has a huge upside. She's one of those kids that's really hungry to learn and get better. And she's got a very good mind, just in the sense both academically and athletically. So, we really look forward to working with her and developing her. We added, obviously, our assistant coach, Brandon Rohr. He's done a great job already with our post players. And so I'm really looking forward to those two working together to really develop her post game. The situation with Bree just happened to work out in the sense that, I kind of convinced her to come to Hastings, and you know, she's got a sibling that goes to Kearney and obviously is very close with her family, and so an ideal situation was for her to be here anyway. And so when I took the job here, she obviously contacted me, and we had that conversation about, well, you know, why don't I just come play for you at Kearney? And you know, she understands she's going to have, you know, some challenges, and she's going to have to work really hard. But again, we're really, really excited about, you know, the potential that she has. And because she's such a great kid, we really see her developing over the course of her time at UNK.
We're talking with Carrie Hofstetter, UNK women's basketball coach, here on the Doug and Daddy Show. A name that I kind of had pop into my head that might be familiar to folks around here is Laurel Zwiener, who went to Hastings, who would be in the same ballpark. I don't want to compare kid to kid, but tall kid, didn't play a lot until she got into high school and got around her friends, and they wanted her to play. And obviously, when you see the height, hey, Come on. And then I understand, and I don't know all the background, but somebody told me you had a young lady at Fort Hays that was kind of the same way. So you've had a little experience here. What kind of worked for those two girls, or maybe more?
Yeah, absolutely. Kate Lehman, the All-American that Fort Hays had this past year, when she was a freshman, I actually coached her for her freshman season and kind of learned a little bit through coaching her, kind of how to develop and work with a 6'3", 6'4" kid. Mm-hmm. Then moving over to Hastings, kind of the same situation with Laurel. A lot of potential and a lot of ability, great touch, great hands and feet, just strength-wise needed to get better and to be able to bang and to carry a 6'4", you know, body up and down the floor on a consistent basis is much to do with strength. And it takes long players that have length and size like that to grow into their bodies a little bit and to be able to not just, you know, run and not be uncoordinated and awkward, but then to develop strength enough to really be a great athlete. And so you know, I feel like I've gained some really good experience with those two players, who both turned out to be very good and effective players in their leagues and nationally. So, you know, Bree again is somebody that could really turn into a great player for us, and we're looking forward to the opportunity to coach her.
Wow! If she's in the ballpark, if Kate Lehman, yeah, I didn't know it was Kate that we were going to be talking about. Wow.
It shows that kind of the growth they can have. And like you say, you're either 6'3", you're not, and certainly you can grow into that. Let's talk about some of the other recruits that you have. Obviously, there's a list of folks we can't talk about that we kind of have an idea or kind of on the radar for you. So I want to make sure I don't do this the wrong way. I'm just going to leave it up to you.
Sure.
And give me the names and some of the folks that you've got signed up and kind of where you're at and how you came to bring them into UNK.
Sure. Well, obviously, Bree Miller is from here in Kearney, and we just discussed her. And then we have a couple other incoming freshmen. Kennedy Sander, her dad actually played at UNK, Ken Sander. And so she's really excited about continuing on at a place where both of her parents played for a period of time. And then Kenzie Colm from Platteview is a kid that can really score the ball. She's got great strength and really great basketball IQ. And both of those players, when I was recruiting them, when I was at Hastings, they both, you know, were players that I really worked hard to sign in the early period of the fall of their senior year, because I knew that they would be, you know, kids that would be prospects for Division II schools and that might get swept up and so late. And so I got those two committed super early to me. And so, you know, it's one of those things where you're fortunate to be able to bring not only great players, but great people that you know are going to help build your culture and help be the teammates that you want them to be and kind of getting this thing turned around. We're really excited about all three of those kids that we're adding to the roster.
Before we get into the camps, just kind of one more here about, and we're talking with Carrie Hofstetter, Loper women's basketball coach. The kids that you were recruiting to go to Hastings, that and Bree Miller said it yesterday, I love Hastings, I love Kearney, I want to play for Coach Hofstetter. How much of that is going on during this transition for you?
You know, that's been one of those difficult things because it's for me it's kind of a double edged sword because it's I left a program that I helped build and that I have a great pride about and love it and love Hastings College, love the women's basketball program, probably the most proud person on the planet about that program, and so obviously I want them to be successful, and at the same time there's this weird dynamic that you build with kids when you build those relationships. And you recruit them really hard, and you gain their trust, and they buy into what you're selling, and they want to come play for you, and you know that's kind of the case that happened with Kennedy and Kenzie Colm and also Bree, and so it's just one of those things that it's a delicate situation, and yet at the same time it's again those relationships that you build with as you're recruiting are so important, obviously in the success of your team, but it also creates that dynamic when you change schools and when you take a different job.
That has to be
probably
kind of,
it's probably harder for Gina to convince the Dallas girls that she was coaching at to come to Hastings as opposed to just going from Hastings to Kearney. So.
It has to be difficult to kind of balance that a little bit because obviously Hastings College, UNK, rivals, sure, but they're also kind of friends and neighbors and in terms of having to deal with that.
Absolutely. You know, there's nobody on the planet that wants Hastings College to be more successful than I do. And you know, hopefully over the course of the next few years, we can kind of partner together and help them out as much as we can, a lot of times what happens in recruiting is players will reach out to you and they may not be good enough to help you, or they may be somebody that maybe isn't necessarily that they're not good enough, but they're not meeting the need that you have at the time for recruiting.
Yep.
And so, it's one of those things where you'd love to be able to send them to your alma mater and have them be successful at Hastings College.
Part of coaching, part of athletics is the camps, getting acquainted with coaches, trying to learn some skills, whether you're a very youngster in elementary school or you're trying to find your way to maybe a college place to play. And it seems like right after Memorial Day, that's when we just get everybody. This is June is a busy time, and that's no different for you. Tell us about what you got coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. We have several camps coming up. The ones that are obviously most on our radar are the ones that we have here at UNK. We have a specialty skills camp for high school kids June 7th through the 9th, and a junior high camp June 9th through 11th. They kind of just one after the other, and then an elementary camp June 11th and 12th. And we're working hard right now, just trying to reach out to young people in the Kearney area and try to build the interest for fundamental skills and growing as basketball players at UNK. And obviously, our several of our players will be available to help coach and to teach the skills and to be the examples. And our coaching staff now with Coach Rohr and then Jamie Van Kirk, who will be our graduate assistant, will also be involved in those camps. And so we're trying to get all those things put together and at the same time continue recruiting and just continue moving forward.
And the easiest way to get more information and register would be online?
Yeah, just go to thelopers.com and click the women's basketball link, and there's a camp link connected right there, and it'll take you right to the online registration.
Carrie, with going probably through all this and then as a player and then going through it as a coach, what's the most important part? What are you trying to get across during your camps to the youngsters?
You know, really it's fundamental skills, and we're kind of in an era right now where everybody wants to play a bunch of basketball games. And, I kind of go back and forth. I think the experience of playing games is really great, but I also think that, you can play a ton of games with bad habits and you're still going to have bad habits. You might have, pretty good game experience, basketball IQ, but you still have bad habits. And so, our focus and emphasis on our basketball camps is very fundamental stuff. It's not rocket science. It's being able to learn to effectively dribble and pass and shoot and rebound and play defense and all of those things, those individual skills that help players be effective when they play live games. And I think maybe as a society, we're getting away from that a little bit, you know, and this is a coach here saying that we maybe play more games than we should and work less on our skills than we should. So, you know, we just want to provide an opportunity for young people to really take 2 or 3 days to focus on those fundamental skills that are going to help them as they, you know, grow and try to play at higher levels so they have a solid foundation.
And obviously with the camp, you're always kind of looking for some talent out there, high school-wise. How important is it to kind of build the brand, if you will, through camps like this? And are there maybe some satellite camps, some other things that you guys are going to try to do to kind of get a little bit more exposure for women's basketball at UNK?
Absolutely. We want to get out and about and let, you know, players all over the state of Nebraska know that we're watching them, that we're interested, that you know, we want to build relationships with not only the high school coaches and the summer coaches all across the state, but also individual players. And when you build those relationships at young ages, they tend to want to be around your program, tend to get familiar. Yeah, you absolutely build your brand. And, you know, we are doing 3 satellite clinics this summer. We're going to do one at Broken Bow, one at Anselmo Myrna, and then also one at Sutherland. So kind of in the area, but a little ways away, to provide opportunities for young people in those areas to get better as basketball players and also to become more familiar with our program.
And the last minute with Carrie Hofstetter, how many more kids are we still recruiting for this year, and what do you still need?
We'll have an announcement very soon about a few more that we've added. We're trying to address some needs. Our depth was a bit of an issue, especially at kind of our 4-5 spot. We definitely needed to address that area. And then depth just overall was something that we really were trying to address, and making sure that, you know, we didn't have just 4 or 5 players that we felt comfortable with, but 8, 9, 10 that we feel really comfortable with that can play at this level right away and get us moving in the right direction.
All right. I got one more question that's totally off base here, because we were talking about the fundamentals, and it occurred to me, we've talked about, and you were right in the middle of it at Sandy Creek, one of the first teams that could execute the press in girls/women's basketball. And I always thought, man, the other team, if they don't have stars, if they don't have somebody that can handle the ball, they're not even in a position to really gain anything from playing here tonight, because they can't break the press. How did that change the game of basketball here over the last 10 years, what you, your teammates, and a couple of the other schools did?
Well, it forced people to learn how to handle the ball a little bit, you know, and you've seen that a little bit more and more, especially really good high school point guards. You know, they're able to kind of handle that a little bit better. They can handle the ball with the right hand, left hand. You know, it did kind of open up a weakness and kind of shed some light on the fact that, hey, we probably need to be able to have more than one player who can dribble the ball, and maybe 3 or 4 or 5 that can. And so it kind of, you know, forced people that are playing not just point guard, but 2 guards and 3 guards and even the power forward position to say, you know, maybe we need to spend a little bit more time handling the ball and being able to dribble and all those kind of things. It also sped the game up, I think, quite a bit. It showed, you know, and allowed some us specifically, but other teams too, to play in transition a little bit more, and to understand the value of, oh, hey, if we can score in transition in the first 4 or 5 seconds that we have the ball and shoot a layup, then we're going to have a much more effective offense than if we have to pass it around 45 times with opportunities to turn it over and then, you know, try to hit a 15 to 18 foot jump shot. And so it changed the game in that way and helped people see, like, oh, if we can play in transition, then we can score a lot of points and be a little bit more efficient and effective than we would be otherwise.
So if we're going off the grid with questions a little bit, I got one that's kind of off the grid a little bit too. There was so much discussion when UNK signed the deal with Under Armour, and football talked about how important getting the gloves and all that stuff and the Under Armour thing is. Is that as true on the women's side as it is on the guy side? Are you finding that as well?
Absolutely. Brand sell. I mean, you know, it's a big thing to have everybody all wearing the same same thing. And you know, honestly, for the women's side, it's been really helpful for us that three of the teams that were in the Final Four, Notre Dame and Maryland and some of those teams, they wear Under Armour. And so it was great exposure for Under Armour in the basketball world. It's also been great that Stephon Curry is a stud and was Player of the Year, and he wears Under Armour. And so those kind of things have helped build the brand. And they're coming out with some great basketball stuff. And if you look back and you think about Nike and the time that it took them to build their brand, it took forever in the basketball kind of scene. And so it's important. I mean, when we have recruits come in, they do. They ask, well, what do you guys wear? What do you, you know, we have a display in our locker room of the stuff that we wear, wow, the gear that we, you know, that our kids have and the shoes that they wear, so that they can see, this is what I'm going to be. This is going to be my look, you know, and it does make a huge impact. The branding and image is such an important part of recruiting and just your overall kind of perception as a program now.
Man, we didn't wear this at Amherst. We didn't wear this at Omaha, Brian. We didn't. What's going on here? We'll let you out here with this. There was a lot of talk the last week about the rules changes. It's not just in men's basketball, but women's basketball. And as my story says right here, they'd be used across all three divisions of women's basketball. They're trying to get it closer to the WNBA. I think maybe the biggest change is going from halves to quarters. What are you seeing? What would you like if Kerry Hofstetter could say, this is the way it's going to be, how would it be?
Sure. I mean, I completely understand. I will say I haven't thought so much about it as, you know, how will it specifically change, you know, what we're going to do. But it will change the game. You know, it'll change strategy. It'll change, you know, kind of philosophy and how coaches are going to go about substitutions and all sorts of things. Because not only with the quarters will come the change in foul limits, be five fouls, and then we're at the 1-1, and then it starts over at the next quarter. And so those things will drastically change, you know, how coaches, you know, strategize, how players play. And at the same time, I completely understand why they're kind of considering those things. And I think, you know, there are some things that would help us in kind of helping it be a little bit more, you know, fan friendly and more exciting to watch. Obviously, the changes in the way that we've started to call the game has made it a little bit more of an offensive game. The numbers, the scores have gone up over the course of the last year or two. And so, you know, I'm open to the changes. It'll be interesting to see where they go with this and how extreme they get with the changes. And, you know, it's one of those things where you just kind of take it as it is and then start to get to work on, okay, how are we going to change what we do, or will it change what we do at all, and make those decisions and start working on it.
Kerry Hofstetter, and if you need more about the Lopers basketball camps, go to lopers.com. Thanks for being with us, and have a great summer when you're not working hard.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Kerry.
A couple of other notes here on the Loper link. The UNK softball team, five of its members make the academic honor roll, and then MIAA scholar athlete is Aaron Dwyer. Amanda Dunn, Haley Gittison, Taylor Keenan, and Kate Rui picked that up. We talked yesterday with Coach Day about Anthony Pacheco making the All-Central Region team this year, a second team selection. Last year, he was a first team selection. One of the big awards that they have in the MIAA is the Ken B. Jones Award, and there are 18 finalists for this. This goes across all sports, and it's really kind of the best. Cole Manhart is the nominee from UNK. Emily Fink named to the academic all-district team from tennis. They call that the at-large. Everything that's not a so-called big-time major sport is at-large. Every school might not have hockey, wrestling, skiing, lacrosse, bowling, and crew. It's all about that, and that's where tennis is lumped in there. And I think we broke this just a little bit last week, but the men's basketball team is also bringing in three more players with Kevin Lofton, a JUCO, and Josh Sweet, and a couple of high school kids, one from Iowa, one from Kansas, in Morgan Susie and Carter Burns. And it was 1 week ago today that Mason Brodeen got cut by the Rams, and I don't think that was on our Loper link. So that's what we've got for you, brought to you by Russ Smith of Charter West National Bank. You have the reasons they have the loans at Charter West.
A tough break for Mason Brodin last year because he was really poised to make the Rams squad, especially on special teams. I noticed from watching them in the preseason that they always ran the kick return to the side that he was blocking, and that's when he got hurt, when a guy trying to make the team as well, a rookie, carries the ball out from 8 yards deep in the end zone on a kickoff instead of kneeling on it like probably should have and end up breaking his the bone in his foot there and never really got back to full speed. So that, it really was a tough break, literally and figuratively.
We'll switch it over to high school. State track with Roger Matheson. State tennis with Troy Salisbury. And we've got more coming up on the Doug and Daddy Show after this.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Have you ever seen a rusty fish? The same way scales protect a fish from his environment, the Armacoating spray-on bed liners from the Dent Popper protects your pickup bed. No rust, no dents, no scratches, no chemical corrosion. So your truck has a longer work life and holds its value longer. Reduces load slippage, and here's a bonus, it quiets the ride. See the Dent Popper north of Railroad on 1st, on the bricks, downtown Kearney, and get a free estimate for an Armacoating spray-on bed liner. Guaranteed for as long as you own your truck.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
One play can change momentum in a game.
Field goal attempt for the corner with 1.6 seconds to play. Now he launches up a shot at the buzzer.
And one deductible is a game changer when it comes to your insurance.
He hits it! A three-point field goal with the state championship.
That's why you should see Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your Farm Bureau agents. They can bundle your car and home together into a single policy. So, if life sends a blitz in the form of a storm or fire,
touchdown! Kidding me.
You'll pay just one deductible for everything that's covered. Talk to Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers today and see how simple it can be. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company, securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliates, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll have a slight chance for a few scattered showers early on today. Otherwise, expect cloudy skies with a high near 52 degrees. And we'll see clearing skies tonight with lows down to 39. I'm Weather Eye meteorologist Sam Denaisty. Right now, it's 45.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter rolling through on a Wednesday. Tomorrow, Dave Malarnik to talk about the State Games of America, which are coming to Nebraska this summer, and you too can be a part of it. So that's part of our show tomorrow, plus college baseball talk here over the next few days. Conference tournament underway. We'll give you an update in a little bit. Huskers will play this afternoon against Illinois at 5 o'clock. You can watch it at the Chicken Coop. Kick back, enjoy the new duck wings, or just have some that's your perennial favorites, whether it's the chicken wings, whether it's a steak, whether it's a chicken tender hoagie, a burger, one of their great pizzas, anything off the menu, they'll fix it up for you. And don't forget their appetizer specials going on throughout the afternoon as well. Special prices on all appetizers at the Chicken Coop Bar and Grill, the best of both worlds in downtown Kearney. Stop in and see them today. Well, state track gets underway for classes A and C in the first session this year, Friday morning at 9 a.m. And we always have a great time chatting with the boys' track coach at Kearney High, Roger Matheson. And, Coach, good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm doing just fine. It's raining outside, so I don't have to do any work outside. I can stay inside where it's warm in the country, I guess.
And move those big boulders. That's a good call by you today.
Yeah, I better. I need I need some help. You might want to come out. You and Randy can do that in your spare time, maybe, huh?
Yeah, we do a lot of heavy lifting around here, Roger.
We'll supervise, Rog.
We're really good at that.
Really good at that. Well, let's start with the joke, you know. Hey, oh, my God, the Kearney track team has finally come to the end. My favorite quote from you, and there are so many of them out there, but from this year was, you know, it's not like we finished eighth. We finished second by whatever it was, 6 or 8 points when the long streak came to an end earlier this year. But I guess, Coach, how are you and everybody just handling that? You're so used to being in the limelight, and it's like Husker football when things went the wrong way. You know, you got so many streaks. Eventually, all of them are going to come to an end, and a couple of them did this year. How's everybody deal with that?
Well, you know, in all honesty, we don't really talk about all that much. We set the state record this year for the most conference championships in a row. We're at 26, and the district at 27. So we still got a few strings going for us, but I don't really know how to answer that. I think, the mere fact that in the meets, we did lose two meets this year, but the team that beat us is Omaha Creighton Prep, and, you know, they're not exactly dealing with an empty gun there. And Creighton Prep would be the favorite to win the state track meet. So, you know, I guess I would answer by saying this. Down in my game room, one of my prized possessions is Mr. McKenzie here in town, who used to be a good friend of maybe the greatest coach of all time, Johnny Wooden. He got Wooden to sign a book for me one time years ago, and I have an autographed basketball by Johnny Wooden. And here some time back, one of my former athletes, Alex Johnson, sent me an article, and it was about Coach Wooden. It was his favorite story. And get my numbers straight here. I believe it was 1974 they won their last national championship. They won 10 in 12 years. And as you know, I'm a storyteller, but another story. After they won their last one, and Johnny Wooden was about to announce his retirement, he's walking to the locker room to talk to his kids after they won the game. And a booster came up to me and said, you know, Johnny, I'm really glad to see that you got the ship righted here after a really disappointing year the year before. Yeah. And Woodsy reflected back on that. If they hadn't won the year before the national championship, they were only 26-4. I don't know. It's all kind of relative. I do think that, you know, one of the questions, and Stu asked this here a while back, he said, what's more difficult to do? Is it to win the first one or two, or is it to keep it going? You know, I don't know if there's an answer to that, but I do think that Johnny Wooden in his book is right when he talks about what you have to guard from is having people have a sense of entitlement. And what I mean by that is just thinking it's going to happen. In particular, people who have not been, you know, in that circumstance before. And I don't know if we have that situation. I think it always boils down to talent. But it's kind of unique, but it's not like, you know, like you said, it's not like we're getting pounded on here. We, quite honestly, if we could have kept Miguel Gomez, got a stress fracture a month ago, and we had a kid who wrestled, this is the second best vaulter in the state coming back, he broke his hand in wrestling. You know, quite honestly, we win again this year. If we had those guys, we'd still be the favorite. So, you know, where are we? I don't know. We've been in the top 10 29 years in a row. I think next best after us is Central. I believe like they've been there 5 times in a row. So are we a top 5 team? I think so. Yeah. And who knows? I would say the 16 state championships we won, I don't know, half of them we weren't the favorite. So we don't probably have the depth, though, that we've had in the past in that, you know, we don't maybe cover quite so many of the events. And when you're the 22nd biggest school in Class A, your margin of error is not quite like being at, you know, Mildred West or Mildred South or Prep, you know, or West Side. You know, our margin of error, we got to keep people healthy. But we're going to show up, and I think we'll be fairly competitive.
One area that, Roger, obviously over the years you've been very successful with, and you still have a little bit of that depth in, is in the throws. You got Jacob Long, who leads the state in both shot put and discus. Eli Keller is second in the state in shot put. Brian Arp is right there in both discus and shot. Talk a little bit about Jacob in particular and the rest of your throwers, and how much hay do you think you can kind of make in that area down at state?
I think we'll do extremely well in that area. I think if you look at us over the years, if people aren't familiar with those three names, I would tell you the fastest kid in our schoolhouse is Jacob Long. His uncle is Mike Smith, and if you remember Mike Smith, he was an incredible standout at UNK in football. Jacob Long is fast. Now, we've we've worked him into the weights for the obvious reason. If you look at him, and then, of course, Eli Keller is a brother of Noah Keller, and we all know about Brian Arp. Those are not typical kids. And what I mean by that is they're athletic. And Rand, you well know, I mean, our flaw, we have a little bit of a, I think here in track, a little bit of a small school philosophy. What I mean by that is I think when you're with smaller schools in Class A, if you're operating with kids who are just track athletes alone, that's a prescription for failure. And I think that, you know, we try to get kids, since I've been here, I think we've had like 250 kids place the state meet, and only five of them have been one sport athletes. And so what I'm getting at with those three kids is what you see, that they're athletic. You know, they're not just big, they're athletes, and they're very explosive. And so when you see how they throw, I mean, in particular, Eli and Jacob aren't real big. Now, Brian's a bit bigger. But we have got to score huge in that event. You know, over the years, the distance races, the vault, and the weights have really been extremely good to us. Of course, we got hit by the injury bug in the distance and the vault this year. And so those guys have got to carry a big load. But when you when we get there, a lot of people look at us as being a depth team. Well, I guess we had a lot of depth over the years, but in the last 30 years, we've almost doubled the second-place team in state championship people. So, you know, we got those three kids, and they are more than good. And then our other big hitters would be Jacob White and the hurdles.
Yeah, Jacob, obviously, and that's where I was going next. We're talking with Roger Matheson, head track coach over at Kearney High. Jacob is the leader in Class A in the 110s and second right there in the 300s. Actually, was in the same district with the Borchers kid from South Sioux City, so they went 110. They're in the 300. We talked about it yesterday, too, Roger, is that the Metro teams always are a little bit amazed that Kearney can come in with fast kids. You don't have them in the 1, 2, and 4 this year, but you do have Jacob and a couple others in the hurdles.
Yeah, we again, I didn't mention it, but we have another kid who really wasn't even out this year. He tried to come out. They got hurt. A kid named Everly from his parents are from up by Ansley there some years back, but he's really fast. But again, he's hurt too. But yeah, you're right. It's interesting when people look at us, go back and look and see who's won the 100 and 200 the most the last 10, 15 years, and that'll shock you. But yeah, you know, again, it's always, as we well know, you know, you being from Ord and Randy's from down by McCook, you know it's a numbers game. And when you're a smaller school in your class, you better have your act together, or you better be rolling the dice and getting good kids. And Jacob White, he's the consummate athlete that we survive with up here, I think. He's gifted. I don't know if you guys remember his dad. I'm not so sure his father doesn't still have the school record at Kearney Catholic, like the shot, the discus, the high jump. His dad was really athletic. He's a multi-sport athlete. You know, he's a quarterback on our football team. He's very bright. He's extremely aggressive and a very hard worker. And Jacob White is, I don't want to say he's made himself a great athlete, because obviously you have to have that talent to begin with. But he certainly has taken the talent that the good Lord gave him, and he's done as much as a guy possibly could. But yeah, he is going to have to carry a huge, huge load for us. And the kid he's running against from South Sioux, I don't know how familiar you guys are with him, but he's a really great basketball player, football player. He's really an athletic kid. He's another multi-sport kid. But yeah, when you look at a few events, those events right there have got to carry the load for us. And we had kind of an unfortunate thing happen at district. We ran 3:26 in the mile relay. And our anchor later, your sophomore, he ran 49.4, which is pretty fast, they tell us. But we got disqualified. And so, you know, just a 1 or 2 points like that can make a big difference. We'll have to see how that shakes down. But, you know, honestly, I think we're kind of in, I think we're a top five team. Are we in the running? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. I think there are, like I say, 4 or 5 teams. Prep certainly has the firepower now. To go a long way. There's a kid at Millard South who could have really beaten him up badly, and a kid at Millard West who could have beaten him up badly. But both those kids are hurt, too. And so the door opened a little bit more for Great Prep.
Roger, you always know what I'm going to ask you, I think, next, but I was going to bring up those relays. You guys always score points there as well. How many points do you anticipate that you can get out of the relay?
You know, to be honest with you, you're exactly correct. A lot of people look at the 100, look at the hurdles, they look at the discus, look at the ball, they look at the, you know, whatever the open events are. But I've always thought that if you want to see the true depth of the team and the people that really have the chance to hit it big, in the big show is you look at the relays. As you can see by our relay teams, our sprint relay made it. But we're going to change it down a little bit around in terms of who we're going to put on there. But our sprint relay team would have a very, very difficult time placing in the state track. I mean, last year, you may recall, we ran the fourth fastest time in state history. We only have one of those kids back. And that kid actually moved into the hurdles, Dylan Nickel. And he qualified in the intermediates. We think he can place for us there. But our mono relay, we could hit it big there. I mean, we could hit it. And Trey Grubey's a sophomore. When you run 49.45 as a sophomore, it was in our relay. But I'm telling you something, there was smoke coming off his feet. They're filling him up with nitrous oxide, not that E85 stuff. But the guy can run. But that really hurt us. Our two-mile relay, you know, we never run it during the year, but, you know, we can run it. Our two-mile relay, if we run well, I don't know, we run 8:20-something or 8 whatever. We probably, if we hit it, we can run low eights. You know, and how's that going to score? We can score in there. I mean, we're probably anywhere from about 4th to 10th. There are a whole bunch of teams are kind of packed in there. Well, one of the issues we have is a lot of those kids are young guys. We like to have a mixture of the older kids with the younger guys. We're dealing with a lot of younger kids right now. And in Class A, you're not the same different than anybody else, but it truly is. You really, it's a senior-dominated. Whereas, you know, when I was at Shelton years ago, you know, you kind of relied on some of those younger guys to carry a big share of the load for you. But it's pretty difficult in the league we travel in. So, our relays, just to cut to the chase, are not nearly as strong. But if we could have picked up a few in this mile relay, 2 mile relay, throw the hurdles, the vault is really going to be a bugaboo because we could go anywhere from 3rd and 4th in the vault. We have a freshman who's ready to come on for us, DJ Kemp, and kid named Craig and Gowan, who's a junior. You know, those kids could score for us. So if we could, if Dylan could pick up some extra points to hurdles to supplement our big hitters in the weights and Jacob White, if we could hit it in the 2 mile relay, you know, we could score. We score the mid 50s. I think the winners are going to score in the 60s. It just happens to be, it's a weird year. They said, gee, you guys score 80. Yeah, but it's all relative to everybody else. So I think the magic number is 60. Well, so can we score in the mid 50s? I think we can, yeah.
Well, Roger, you led me right into the question I wanted to ask, and you already mentioned Creighton Prep probably being the favorite, and you said that the point is probably about 60, the state champion's going to be there. Who else do you kind of see as being the contenders as well as you guys as Prep?
Well, again, you know, just look at the sports that get, you know, big numbers of kids, you know, like football, basketball, and track. So look at them, who are they? Well, Mount North. So, yeah, it would be, I would say, you're right, it would be Creighton Prep, Omaha North, ourselves, and for my money, the rising power in this state is Papio South. I mean, you can slowly see them getting it together. And there, I was talking to Coach Heaser the other day, the basketball coach. He's the jump coach in track, and he kind of got figured out to get those kids doing multiple sports and getting all those kids out. I just think that Papio South really had it figured out. And I think if you look at those three and ourselves, I think we're in there in terms of the top five. And, you know, it's strange. You may not think so, but Grand Island, you know, they've kind of come on here at the end, and they got some big hitters, you know, in the vault. In particular, they got a couple of good hurdlers. They got a ninth grader who is a rocket, who, by the way, his mother's from Kearney High here years ago. Matter of fact, I think she was on our, yeah, I'm sure of this. We won the state basketball title for girls here many years ago. Randy has a better memory of that than me. I think Darla Staub was on that team. I'm sure she was with Stacey Emming.
I think she was.
I think I'm right about that. That's her son. Anyway, so GI has some kind of big hitters of their own. They got a really fast kid and a half. And so I think GI probably is right in there as well.
Well, Roger, you guys are always doing a great job. Keep up the great work, and maybe you'll surprise a few folks like you always do down there in Omaha.
You know what? Honestly, I think, you know, for me, and Randy Well knows, the guys I work with, Coach Lathrop is leaving this year. He's going to be moving on to Colorado here in another month or so. But I've been very fortunate that our assistant coaches, we have a total of like 160 years of experience on the staff. And I think, you know, my coaches, we always like, it's like winning a golf tournament. Everybody's doing a great job. But they really do a good job, and they've been there a zillion times before. There is a way of going about it. There is a process to it, I think, in terms of getting more out of people. So we'll do well. I think our kids will do as well as we possibly can and let the chips fall where they may. Like I said, the 16 times we've won the last 21 years, I don't know, I'd say half those times we weren't the favorite, but our kids will do well. They'll do well.
All right, Raj, it's always a pleasure talking with you. We'll get you on to talk something other than track next time, okay?
Hey, listen, we got a few things we can talk. We come out to my place and see my game room sometime. We got a few other sports we can talk about here besides track.
No doubt about it. Hey, Roger, always appreciate it, buddy. Have a great summer.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Roger Matheson, Kearney Boys track coach. Huge, again, if you don't know, Coach is huge into memorabilia, and I mean, he's so huge, he's got a lot of it cataloged. I mean, there's just a lot of stuff. It's pretty amazing. And one thing that I'll be interested, at some point, and Roger, we're talking about it, setting up the interview yesterday, I said, you know, we got to the point of the World Herald is trying to update their 100 all-time athletes out of Nebraska. And sometimes you don't see a lot of tracksters on there. And I noticed today, as I researched the story, some of the newcomers, it's been 10 years since they put it out, but like they've got Kearney's Kyle Larson and Brett Maher. With all due respect, they kicked the football for Nebraska. Colby Wissel is somebody that Roger Matheson brought up that you can't overlook setting national marks.
Maher is a pretty good pole
track
too.
Well, yeah, and Maher,
I mean, he gets a few points
for that.
With
all due respect, we look so much at football in this state. Sometimes, you know, and when we have more time, because I said, man, I hope they don't go overboard, because in the last 10 years, we didn't have a ton of people that belong on the all-time greats, but there are a couple there, and I think the couple that headlined the list are female. Jordan Larson, to me, is the one that's the sure bet of everybody that they've got on their list to get on there. And I think Jordan Hooper will get in as well. That's another one that could be, well, do we wait and then all of a sudden she elevates into the top 70, or do we put her on right now? And, of course, they've got Rich Ozentoski from Ord on there, so I'm sure we can get him on the list as well. We're going to switch it over to tennis when we come back on the Doug and Daddy Show. Kearney High actually has the best seedings of all of the A and B schools in the area. Coach Salisbury going to join us here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Don't forget, at your Midway Auto Group, they have expanded. You may have gotten the mailer. I got it in the mail yesterday of their new openings, their new claim center, the new used car superstore that's going on. So it's continuing to grow.
A lot happening.
They are continuing to grow. And we've talked about MidwayCareers.com. If you'd like to join the outstanding group of the Midway Auto Group and be an employee and move up the ladder or maybe start on top, I don't know. I don't know all the jobs that they have. You can find out at MidwayCareers.com. Find out all the details and then contact them. And if you're over this Memorial weekend and it's time to get ready for the summer, you're looking to move on out and maybe get that new or pre-owned vehicle for you or your kids for the summer, stop by and see them or go to ThinkMidway.com. Midway, it's a better way. And we'll be back with Troy Salisbury. Talk a little tennis after this.
What are your plans this summer? A family vacation? Sunny days by the pool? A nice, cool home after all that outdoor fun? Then have your cooling system checked by the experts at Anderson Brothers Electric Plumbing and Heating. Our technicians will make sure it's ready for all those hot summer days. So schedule a checkup today with the experts at Anderson Brothers Electric Plumbing and Heating at 308-236-6437 or in Holdridge at 995-4481.
At Copycat Printing, we do more than copy and print. We help our customers communicate. Today, the need for effective design is stronger than ever.
With the experience from our design team, let us help you refresh your look. Whether it's a new design or enhancing your current vision, we provide personalized designs for any project in mind.
Design isn't just a job, it's our passion.
Contact the design team at Copycat Printing, 2100 Avenue A, visit KearneyCopycat.com, or like them on Facebook. Copycat Printing, the better idea.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
The reason for weekends can be found at Buzz's Marine in Kearney. When you want a fishing boat, Buzz's will deliver a great time for the entire family with a Fisherman's Smoker Craft, America's first family of boats, powered by Yamaha Marine. From the huge live wells, large casting platforms, to the smooth, stable ride, Smoker Craft boats powered by Yamaha Marine are the best value on the water. See the large, quality lineup at Buzz's Marine. With 59 years of trust, 5th and Central, Kearney.
Showing this Thursday night at the World Theater, a documentary of the living dream, 100 years of Rocky Mountain National Park. This documents the history of Rocky Mountain National Park from the Native American and Mountain Man eras through the pioneers. And it continues through the 20th century and into modern times. Only at the World Theater this Thursday. Showtimes are 7:30 and 9:30. Enjoy affordable drinks and concessions. Thanks for keeping the world spinning. Go to worldtheater.org for more information and upcoming shows.
A better place to live doesn't have to be a dream. Not when there's somewhere where you can make new friends, have new things to see and do, and become a part of a caring community, all on the most affordable of terms. Affordable senior housing at Good Samaritan Society Goldbeck Towers makes this a reality to seniors 62 and older who meet HUD guidelines. Contact a housing professional at Goldbeck Towers for more information on affordable housing or find us on the web at good-sam.com.
Just take those old records on the shelf. I sit and listen to them by myself. Today's music ain't got the same soul. I like that old time of rock and roll. Don't try to take me to a disco.
Doug and Daddy, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. The state tennis meet gets going tomorrow, Randy.
It is just right around the corner. And tell you what, Kearney High is in great shape. They're seated everywhere. You got four basic classifications, singles, doubles, and ones and twos, and they're seated everywhere.
And there's even a Kratzenstein girl, and I got to throw that out for Monty. You know, she's right there in the number two doubles.
Yeah, we have to be nice to Monty.
Coach Troy Salisbury joins us here. Coach, hard to believe the season has just whisked right by us. How are you? Let's try that again. Coach, hard to believe the season has whisked right by us. How are you, bud?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Well, you guys, you just played this week. You beat Norfolk. It seems to me, give me the philosophy or give me the knowledge on this, because let's face it, I don't know everything about everything when it comes to high school athletics. But most of your duels this year, you're beating people 9-0. Give me the credit. Obviously, you guys have a great program. Is it just not big in some schools? Are they geared towards tournaments? What are we looking at there?
I think this year, our depth of our team really made a difference, and we returned everybody but one girl from last year's state roster, and so, you know, we were really strong this year, and so that was a big advantage for us going into duels. So, you know, winning all duels 9-0 except the first one against Holdridge, we won 8-1. So yeah, we had a lot of success in that format.
And you guys are still pretty young. I mean, three of your four doubles players are seniors, but everybody else is underclassmen. I mean, again, we're still talking about this year, but a good young team, the future looks bright for Kearney High Tennis.
Right. We still have a lot of quality coming back next year with Faith, Emily, and Paige being the underclassmen. You know, we have some on our junior varsity that are underclassmen that are right there ready to hopefully step into those roles that those seniors will vacate this year after the season's over.
Troy, was it easy for you to decide who to put in? This is a rare sport where you just say, well, this is going to be my number one single entry at state. This is going to be my number two doubles. Was it easy this year?
This was probably one of the easier years to decide that lineup. It seems like I usually change it once or twice throughout a season, tinker with some things. But this year, from the get-go, we kind of knew from the first month of practice kind of where everybody fell, and everybody kind of stayed in their role from last year. Faith obviously moved up from 2 to 1, And then Emily Wright played three singles and duels last year, so she fit right into that number two single spot really well for us because she was our second best player in singles this year. So it really was pretty simple, a lot easier than most years.
Talk a little bit about Faith. Just a sophomore, and a little bit of experience last year, as you mentioned, but she's number four in the state coming in just as a sophomore, 28-6. That's still a lot of pressure on somebody that, you know, just barely got her driver's license not too long ago.
Right, exactly. You know, the great thing is Faith was there last year as a freshman, you know, placed third in number two singles. So she's been in that pressure situation. You know, she had to win a three-hour match last year in the quarterfinals to get into the semis. So, you know, when it comes down to a tight match, you know, Faith gets stronger the deeper and the later into the match it goes. And that's the kind of player you want to have on the court. And, you know, I feel that that's one of our strengths this year with everybody is, you know, close matches we seem to do really well and we get tougher and play well.
Troy Salisbury, Kearney tennis coach, with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. State meet begins tomorrow. They play it all the way through the quarters. That way the semis and the finals are set for Friday. And you're right on the edge there, Coach. Obviously, Emily is the eighth seed at the number two single, so she'll have to pull off a big upset to be playing on Friday. But everybody else is either a four or a five seed. Overall, this is where we get to that team question. I know Marion and Lincoln Southeast look like they are going to be pretty tough, but you're in position. How do you like the way the seeds came out for your kids?
Yeah, I'm very pleased with where we're at. You know, I really felt like it's where we should have been. I felt we were going to be in the 4-5 spot and in the three of the divisions, and then I felt like Emily was probably going to fall in that number 8 spot. You know, and she hasn't played the North Star girl yet this season, so it's always nice going in, playing somebody different and kind of surprise them a little bit. So, you know, who knows? She hits some really solid shots, and she might surprise her, and she can battle with her.
Well, not only are the seedings out, but also the brackets. When you take a look at the bracket, is there one kind of area you kind of look at there and say, this team, this individual can really do very, very well? How did the bracket shake out for you?
Well, I really feel like, you know, in three of the four, obviously, I mean, Emily with the eighth seed, you're going to have a tougher quarterfinal. But, you know, when they came out, you know, I think our confidence about the quarterfinal matchups, if we can get there, was really high level, because I think we had a pretty high level of confidence because Faith playing the five seed in Papio, she beat her once this season. You know, we've beaten Southeast in one doubles, and then we haven't seen Pius, but looking at some score comparisons, you know, we have played some people better than they have score comparisons, which doesn't always translate to how you play on the court. So we're excited about the matchups that we got, and so I think we have a good opportunity to do well.
Well, Troy, I touched on a little bit Marion Southeast. What do you think? Are those the favorites? Where do you see the Bearcats?
Well, I think, you know, and I think you got to throw Papillion La Vista in there. They have the number one doubles team who is undefeated. So, you know, they're a solid team. So they're going to get a lot of points out of one doubles. Yeah, but we're right in that mix of those three teams. You know, if we can play well, and you know, I really think we have enough opportunity to get three or four teams into that second day, and you do that, you're looking at a top three finish and, you know, being there for a possible state championship. So, you know, we just got to take care of business on Thursday, get people into Friday, so then we can start talking about that top four and top three and even, you know, higher.
Well, Coach, I hope you guys win a lot of matches set up for you to do it. So have success this weekend, and always great chatting with you. Best of luck, and again, great job that you're doing with the program up there.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it, and thanks for all you do with everything with the local radio show and everything. It's great to highlight all these teams and stuff before we go down to state.
Well, Troy, best of luck, bud. Thanks for the time.
Thank you.
Troy Salisbury, head coach of the Kearney tennis team. And again, I look, and B, usually one of our schools, Lexington Central Catholic Carnegie, has a good base. And I said, man, they've got a couple of studs, but then, you know, they're not deep in all four. I think Grand Island Central Catholic in B is probably going to represent the best. They've got the number one and number one doubles. They're fourth in the two singles, and they're third in the two doubles. But the only number one seed from our area is Sadie Gehring and Katie Golka, who are undefeated at number one doubles. B's in Lincoln, and A is going on in Omaha, as always.
And about 31 matches or so to be undefeated? I mean, that you have to bring your game every single time to be able to do that. That's pretty impressive.
Some news in the coaching world just keeps on coming. Hastings High is looking for a new football coach. Eric Emerson steps down after 2 years. They did go 4-5 this past season. Don't have a whole lot of details on that. We talked about John Karn getting hired yesterday as the Holdridge basketball coach. And Coach Becker is retiring at Kearney High. He's taking care of the boys and girls golf. They are putting Jonathan Carson. That's right. Johnny Carson is the new golf coach, and I'm sure he will never get tired of hearing that.
Johnny Carson. You're not the first one that's done that joke, I'm sure.
He's going to be the new golf coach. Of course, the boys are playing at state next week. And yesterday, tough day for Hastings. Hastings High and St. Cecilia didn't qualify. It's been ages since St. Cecilia has been shut out from state golf. It was Ord, Grand Island Central Catholic, and Sutton finishing as the top three yesterday over at Indian Head. We got another break here, and then we're going to talk more about the Royals and the Reds. No, really, we got a couple of other things to talk about, but hey,
in the meantime,
we want to let you know about your local T&L dealers like Derek Wagner of Wagner Irrigation in Holdridge, Bill Shapley at Mid-States Irrigation in Kearney. T&L is like no other. Whether you need a full pivot system, some work done on your existing pivot, or you just want more information and learn more about their new GPS navigation corner system, see one of your local T&L dealers or go to TLIRR.com. The GPS navigation corner system, combined with T&L's hydrostatic design, low maintenance, reliability, and unmatched continuous movement, represents the optimum in pivot corner system management. See them today at T&L Irrigation. We'll be back to wrap things up in a moment.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
Sheldon Locker is very proud of the class of 2015. We are so lucky to be a part of such a great community in Shelton and love serving the freshest meat and the friendliest people. Shelton Locker is the place to go.
Minden Exchange Bank, a tradition of community banking. The money that's deposited with them is reinvested locally in the form of loans to area families, agriculture, and businesses. Best of luck, class of 2015.
Larry's Market in Shelton provides you with fresh foods right in your own hometown. Larry's has movie rentals, party supplies such as balloons, and deli sandwiches. Everything you need in Shelton. Proud of the graduating class of 2015.
Prairie Hills Golf Course, located just 10 short miles north of Kearney on Highway 10, is under new management. Prairie Hills Golf Course is a beautiful course nestled on 132 acres of rolling hills that makes for a fun and challenging golf experience, and they have the lowest 18-hole rates in the area. Call to reserve your tee time now or call to ask about their upcoming leagues. Just call Justin at 308-388-5115 at Prairie Hills Golf Course. That's 308-388-5115.
Want a better insurance experience and be environmentally friendly? Battle Creek Mutual Insurance has the answer with our new My Account, a paperless online service. You can receive email notifications of billings or documents, pay online, and have access to all policy information in one location. Go to bcmutual.com to cut the clutter and be better connected to your insurance company or to find your local independent agent. Battle Creek Mutual Insurance. Better together.
Sports Talk from the guys who know more useless information than anyone in town.
And your father smelt of elderberry.
KICS Hastings. KXPN Kearney.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Game one is in the books. That's Eric Church playing in Omaha tonight. Big concert. People fired up. They're going to go
to church.
There you go. Oh, brother.
It's as much as I know there. It's as far as I can go on that deal.
Big Ten Baseball Tournament Game 1 in the books. Michigan 4, Indiana 1. Iowa and Ohio State will begin at 1 o'clock on BTN+. Plus. So that's online. But then tonight's games are on the BTN television network, including Nebraska, Illinois, which you can hear beginning at 4:30 on 1230 AM KHAS, and then Maryland taking on Michigan. Of course, so also tonight, I've watched bits and pieces
of hockey.
Taped it,
are you still bashing?
No, there's
my
only
Reds.
There's only one thing to talk about today. There's only one thing, and it's David Letterman.
Oh, that's a big deal.
And they're not going to get away from format. It looks like going to keep it at that hour five. But I mean, I would anticipate. And the crazy thing is, it's taped for everybody that should be aware of that by now. All these are taped
about
in that
4
to 5 o'clock hour, wherever they're located. And now the Kimmel's in the West Coast and Fallon and Letterman are on the East Coast. But so some things will sneak out. I think it's going to be extremely reminiscent, the close. I think he'll reference Johnny Carson.
I think so, too.
In fact,
there's got to be a big tip of the cap there.
I wouldn't be surprised that the last words he say are not the exact same closing that Johnny Carson, and I didn't pull it up, but it's something, I bid you a heartfelt good night, I think were the final words that Carson spoke, and I would not be surprised if that's what Letterman does today. As I said, Letterman came along when I was going to college, so that was the thing to watch, and he was a lot kookier then, a lot younger.
That's when he put pro cams on monkeys' heads and before anybody else did things like
The Velcro suit, Alka-Seltzer suit, jumping in a tap of water, and he's done so many cool things, and I think Fallon has picked up on this more than anybody, some of the quirky things he's now getting his guests to do and having fun with them.
But especially musically with Fallon.
You know how it is. You know how it is when you're wrapping something up, it gets all nostalgic, and you get all the big stars coming back. Bill Murray last night, his first guest.
Which surprised me. I thought Murray would be his last guest because he was his first guest.
I don't think there's anybody today.
You don't think there's anybody on there?
I don't think there's any guests today. That's the way Carson did it, right? Bette Midler and
Robin
Williams.
No, Bette Midler was on there.
Wasn't that the next to last night, or was that the actual last night?
Bette Midler sang, and that was...
I can't remember.
And then he came back from break, and he did the little monologue, the speech that you alluded to there, bidding a heartfelt good night. You know, that's what he did there. So
that's tonight, and...
And he was, you know, when he was on his game, and there was a few years there that he was mailing it in. It really was. And I started watching him again here just recently because it's
married,
wrapping up.
Had the heart surgery, 9/11, a lot of things.
A lot of tremendous memories there. And Carson's still better than Letterman. He is, but Letterman reinvented that whole genre, and I'm going to kind of miss the fact that he's kind of out there because now everybody else is kind of younger and hipper and that sort of thing. So it really is kind of a passing of the torch. I mean, one of the guests I saw last week, and this kind of blew my mind because that last week or so, you know, he's got 8 guests left. He's got 6 guests left. He's got, you know, it's coming down. One of his last guests, one of them that made the top 10, if you will, in terms of last guests, was Don Rickles. Now, wrap your mind around that. Don Rickles was funny in the 1960s. There's that transition a little bit from the Carson era to Letterman to now, you know.
If you go to YouTube or you've bought that Johnny Carson set or whatever, you'll see a lot of Rickles who hosted when Carson was gone almost every Friday or once a week or whatever the case was. One of the great bits, and again, if you're our age, there was a show called CPO Sharky, and it was a comedy based on the Navy, I believe it was. And it filmed,
Chief Petty Officer,
it filmed right across the hall from The Tonight Show.
I remember this.
And one of the great bits is Carson comes back from vacation or it's Monday or whatever, and Rickles had hosted the last show, whatever the day was. Maybe it was Total Vacation. But he always had the pencil box on. I believe it was a pencil box, but a wooden box. I think it was a pencil box. And he'd thump his pencil on this box, and the box was broken.
Rickles broke
and
his box.
And I mean, this was not a stage deal. And he's looking around, and Ed McMahon,
Rickles must have broken.
Give me another butt heavy. But what happened? Rickles was here. So he takes the microphone, and they string it out across the hall, and they just flat-out interrupt CPO Sharky.
It's right in filming. The middle of a take.
It's
right
filming. In the middle. Lights on. Yep. It's filming. And it's
in
just,
front of a live studio audience, the whole deal.
It's a pretty darn good segment. And it's also a few things you probably wouldn't be able to do on today's television, from the language to the bit. So check that out. And we'll be watching Letterman tonight. A couple other things. Grand Island, great baseball season came to an end. Pitcher's duel, a complete opposite of the last game. They fell 1-0 to Millard South. Now they get ready for Legion baseball. Your soccer champions on the girls' side, Elkhorn South beat Gretna 1-0 in B, and Millard West joined the boys as the girls' state champion, going to a shootout. Can you imagine 2-1, a shootout for a state title? The final girls' rankings out today. Kearney was the only girls' area team in the Lincoln Journal Star rankings at number 7.
Yeah, you're in that shootout. Your heart just got to be just a pounding, you know, because you have that on your foot. But no greater feeling than running off, because it was actually a made shot by one of the girls, and it was 4-2, so they couldn't get enough goals laid in, and so you get a runoff with that. That's a cool moment.
I would think no matter guy, gal, I would have to do the Brandy Chastain. I would have to. It doesn't matter. Our Midtown Mark Cooler question wraps it up today. Vote at ESPNSuperStation.com on our Midtown Mark Cooler question. Home of the coldest beer and coolest topic.
A sports bra.
We asked, but this would have been years ago. Ooh, yeah, God, well. Who's going to have the better Western Conference final? Steph Curry, the MVP, or James Harden, who was the runner-up? Overwhelming 80% took Steph Curry. Today, with the NFL rule changes, we ask you, do you like the move of the extra point to the 15-yard? Line, yes or no?
We get to miss some kicks. It'll be so exciting. Our percentage will drop from 99% down to 94. Woo!
I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to determine a Super Bowl participant. It's not going to determine a Super Bowl champ, and I don't mean in the AFC or NFC championship games, but somewhere along the line, it's going to cost somebody a game that's going to cost them a number one seed or something like that. I'll say I agree with it. Something has to be done.
It's a throwaway play, but it's still going to be a throwaway play. I don't understand why we're doing that. And by the way, remember that feeling back in like 91, maybe 1990, when Nebraska had an extra point blocked against Colorado. Colorado returned it all the way back for a 2-point conversion. We end up tying 19-19 in the snowstorm. Oh, that was so exciting and so much fun. Something like that's going to happen again.
They need to
in the NFL.
Pros. They need to do that in the pros.
Well, now they can. They can return them back for a safety now.
All right, folks, that's going to wrap things up. A vote on our Midtown Mark Cooler question at ESPNSuperStation.com. We appreciate all the coaches that joined us today, from Kearney High, Troy Salisbury Tennis, Roger Matheson Boys Track, UNK's Kerry Hofstetter. Tomorrow, Stu Pospisil to preview the state tennis meet. He'll also give, or excuse me, track meet. He'll also be working at baseball and doing a variety of things. And we will look at that top 100. Now, Alex Gordon, he's going to be on there. Kurt Tomasevich. I mean, the ones in the recent article from the World Herald, they go right to it. Danny Woodhead, he's going to be on there.
Yeah, makes sense.
Will Bud Crawford, the boxer. There's, you know, Will Tomasevich. You're winning Olympic gold and you're winning world titles. Those are probably for sure ones. Who do you move out? We'll talk about it with Stu tomorrow. We'll also talk with Dave Mularnik from the Nebraska Sports Council. They take care of the Nebraska Cornhusker State Games with this year. It's the State Games of America. So all that coming up tomorrow. Randy's back in on Friday. So
all right.
Enjoy it.
Hey, I won't see you a whole lot between now and then. So happy Memorial Day. Not a lot.
See you, folks.
You've been listening to a Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.